This is a sermon from New City Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. To learn more about New City or to hear more sermons in this series, visit newcitycincy.org.
Now he, that is Jesus, told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "Man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' And so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O God, Most High, would you send us your Spirit this morning as we meditate on these words of Scripture, that our hearts might be lifted up and that our minds might be set on heavenly realities, that we might long to be with you and enter ultimately into the joy of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Well, Jesus tells 3 stories here, and each of the stories gives us a feature or a characteristic of the kingdom of God. And so we'll look at it that way, all right? So story number 1, the parable of the wedding feast. So Jesus is at the dinner of one of the rulers of the Pharisees, one of the higher-ups in the religious party. And as the dinner's about to get underway, he observes a mad dash for all the best seats at the party. They're scrambling over each other to get the most honorable place at the table. Now, we don't normally think about seats of honor very much in our culture, except that is maybe at weddings, right? Normally, the seating arrangements at weddings are very meticulously put out, usually by the mother of the bride, I think, is the one who sets these things, traditionally at least. And the idea, right, is the closer to the bridal party that you are, the more important you are, at least the more near to the couple that's getting married. Now, whenever I officiate a wedding, which is a lot of times in a young church like this, I tend to get seated at the grandparents' table. And I'm not sure what that means exactly, other than I'm very aware, acutely aware, that I'm not seated at the fun college friends' table, which I resent very much. But anyway, here, Jesus sees this scramble for the best seats. And he says, "I want to tell you a little story." And he tells the story, and the message is, right, when you go to a party, Jesus is saying, don't aim for the best seat. Because even if you get the best seat, what if somebody comes in later and has a more honored place? The host is going to come, and then he's going to ask you to move, and it's going to be really embarrassing. And even more, what if at the point that this is happening, the dinner's already been served, and everybody's started eating, and the only seat left is back by the restroom next to crazy Uncle Eddie, right? By focusing on getting the best seat, you might actually end up with the worst seat. Jesus is saying, better not to scramble at all. And let the host be the one who puts you where you need to be. Now, what's the point of the story? The point of the story is that God is the one who exalts people. God is the one who exalts people. You might be able to exalt yourself for a time in this life, but Jesus is saying in the kingdom of God, it's God that exalts people, and he values humility. If you will be exalted at all, God is the one who will do the exalting. And if you believe this, and here's the payoff, if you believe this, it can free you from your scrambling. It's not just the Pharisees, right, that are scrambling for places of honor. We're all doing this in some ways. We're all trying to justify our existence, all desperately trying to do something to prove that we're good enough and smart enough and doggone it, people like me, right? The Pharisees were out to get the seats that they thought they deserved to protect their place in the pecking order, but isn't that how we operate a lot of the time? We don't use seats at dinner to measure our worth, but we sure do use money to do so, don't we? We do it with titles at work or in our spheres of influence. We do it with our appearance, with our looks, with our clothes. We do it when we're obsessed with praise, always fixated on how everybody's responding to us. If you know that God does the elevating in the next life and then that world is much more long-lasting than this one, it can free you from the mad dash. It can free you from the scrambling. You can stop worrying, am I getting all that I deserve? Am I getting all that I need? The Westminster Shorter Catechism begins like this. What is the chief end of man? What is the aim of all life? And the answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The way of the Pharisees, the way of scrambling, the way of pride actually ruins you for both of those things. Because if you're scrambling for the best seats, if you're seeking your own honor, then you aren't honoring God. The irony of this whole scene is that Luke tells us in chapter 14, verse 1, that this is a Sabbath meal. Now, all meals in the ancient world were important, but the Sabbath meal in particular was the high point of the whole week. It was a meal that was set aside to remember God's grace. It was a Thanksgiving meal in that regard, right? It was a meal where you would remember that God is the creator. Everything belongs to him. You'd remember that God is the savior. He's the one who rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt despite their sin. It was the meal you'd remember that God is the sustainer. All good gifts come from him. It's the point of the Sabbath meal, gratitude for all those things. And the Pharisees, though, they're so busy jockeying for position, Jesus is saying they miss the whole point of the meal. Pride looks at the gifts that we have, and it thinks that says something mainly about us. Look at me, look at what I've earned, look at what I've got because of what I've done. Humility looks at the gifts that we have and says, what a great giver, what a great God, what great grace. The scrambling, searching for honor, it keeps us from honoring God, but scrambling also keeps you from enjoying life. Did you know that? Proud people never really enjoy what they have because they're never quite sure it's all that they should have. Right? Is this all that's really owed to me? Did I get everything that I really deserve? Do people recognize? Am I getting all that I'm owed? But the humble actually can really enjoy life because they know that everything is a gift. Whatever they have, they know it's far better than what they deserve. If you're going to be exalted in God's kingdom, he's the one who will do the exalting. And if you know this, you can cease your scrambling. Verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So story number one is about humility. Story number two is about the guest list. This isn't, I guess, so much of a story as it is a side comment. Jesus turns to the host of the party, one of the rulers of the Pharisees, and he says, next time you throw a party, how about you invite a whole different set of people? Jesus looks around at this party and he sees friends and relatives and rich neighbors, and he says, why not invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind? Meals in the ancient world were a complex measure of social relationships. One historian describes the Roman world like this. Central to the political stability of the empire was the ethics of reciprocity, a gift and obligation system that tied every person in an intricate web of social relationships. Expectations of reciprocity were naturally extended to the table fellowship. Now, that's not terribly unlike today. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. It's how a lot of our relationships work, isn't it? Instead of friends, we have contacts. Instead of hospitality, we have networking. Instead of generosity, we have reciprocity. Now listen, Jesus is not saying you should never have a party with your friends. He's not saying that. I mean, in other places, he has a lot to say about how the gospel actually paves the way for good and deep and rich friendship. But what he is saying is that the kingdom ethic is to serve people who can't do anything for you in return. The kingdom ethic is to serve people who cannot do anything for you in return. That is, real generosity is when you give to the least and the lost with the same energy and joy and love that you would do if you were entertaining your CEO of your company or entertaining somebody that you really admire or if you're spending time with somebody that you might want to date. Same energy, joy, and love for the least and the lost. That's the kingdom ethic. It's not based on reciprocity, but on grace and service and love. Why? Because that's how God has loved and served you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, a key Old Testament text. It says, "The Lord your God has chosen you, Israel, the people of God, to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth." He had the choice of all the peoples on the face of the earth. He chooses you, he says to Israel. But why? It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord has set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. It's because the Lord loves you. God says to Israel, "I love you simply because I love you." That's it. I love you because I love you. Not because you can do anything for me, not because you're the richest, the smartest, the wealthiest, the most numerous. I love you because I love you. Tim Keller paraphrases this, if you are chosen but not choice. That is not the pick of the litter. I love you because I love you. That was true for Israel, but if you are a Christian, I have to tell you that Jesus loves you in that same way. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus went to the cross for you when you had terrible ideas. Jesus went to the cross for you when you were living in a way that was reprehensible. He's not looking to set his love upon you because of something that you've done for him. The gospel tells us that God loves you not because of what you can do for him, but out of his grace, out of his mercy, out of his character. And when you know that, you can start to love other people generously and graciously and freely without looking for some kind of quid pro quo. So story number two, hospitality for the least and the lost, not based on reciprocity, but based on grace and service and love. Story number three, the parable of the great banquet. Now listen, I don't know if you've ever been a part of a conversation that got tense and you felt like maybe your role in the situation should be to try to lighten the mood a little bit. I'm one of these people, I really like harmony. I don't like a lot of tension. So I find myself in this position quite a bit where things get tense. And so I want to change the subject to lighten, how about the weather? Pretty neat out there, all the leaves, How about the Reds, new manager, Terry Francona? I have all the sympathies in the world for the guy in verse 15, because that's what's happening here. Jesus has, it's gotten awkward, right? He's rebuked the guests at this party for scrambling for the best seats. Then he rebukes the host for the guest list. And so this one, and my heart goes out to this guy, this one well-meaning guy says, "Boy, it's gonna be wonderful when we can all feast in the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus just says, "Yes. But what makes you think you're going to be there?" You've heard of ice breakers. This is an ice maker, I think, is what they call that. All right, if it's not awkward before, it sure is now. But then Jesus tells a story, and the point of the story is God's invitation to the feast of the kingdom. It's wide, it's big, but not everyone will respond. Verse 16, a man was giving a great banquet, a huge banquet, and he invited many, it says. But when he sends out his servant, tell everybody it's ready, the excuses start to roll in. So in verse 21, goes out again and invites more. Verse 23, even more are invited. The invitation is wide, but there are many who will not come. Why not? Three reasons, straight from the text. Number one, some won't come because of the commonness of the kingdom. We've talked about the guest list already, but I think it's safe to say the Pharisees aren't quite sure they actually want to go to a party like this. Most Jewish authorities didn't believe that the blind, the crippled, the lame should even be able to come into the temple for worship, let alone the kingdom to which the temple points. But here Jesus says they're going to be invited to the feast in the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees were the spiritual powerhouses, but the spiritual waifs, Jesus says, are invited as well. This kind of thing plays out actually all through the Gospel of Luke. The folks that you think would be the most excited about Jesus are actually repelled by him. The folks that you think would be the most distant from God are actually the ones who come flocking to him. Just for example, the beginning of chapter 14, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were watching Jesus, not watching to really learn, but watching, it says, to try to catch him in something. They're scrutinizing him. Right, they're suspicious. But then chapter 15, verse 1, it's the tax collectors and the sinners, the spiritual outsiders that are flocking to Jesus. The first were watching him suspiciously. The latter listened to him hungrily. The next two people that are converted in the Gospel of Luke are a blind beggar and a tax collector, the least and the lost. These are the ones who are being drawn to God's feast. The Pharisees aren't sure. They actually want to go to a party like this. Some will not come because of who else will be there. The wideness of the invitation. I know that sounds strange, but in my conversations with people, I have found this very much to be true. I mean, there are people, and this is typically what we think, there are people who are put off by the judgment of God, but I will tell you, there are just as many people put off by the mercy of God. That is to say, they're thinking to themselves at least, I don't know if I can believe in a God who accepts this kind of person. I don't know if I can believe in a God who would take this kind of person that I despise, my enemy, the person who voted wrong earlier this month. I don't know if I can believe in a God who would forgive prostitutes and murderers and cheaters and liars. I can't believe in a God like that. You know, the end of one of Alan Bennett's plays, a disillusioned pastor's wife says, "That's the thing that no one ever says about God. He has no taste at all." That's the thing that nobody ever says about God. He has no taste at all. Thank God for a tasteless Jesus who keeps bad company. But some are put off by this. They won't come because of who else has been invited. In another place, Jesus says to the religious leaders, the pimps and the prostitutes will actually get into the kingdom of God before you. Because there is a prejudice that the haves have, that the have-nots have not. Some won't come because of the commonness of the kingdom. Secondly, some won't come because of the freeness of the kingdom. I'm not sure that's actually a word, but I think you get what I mean. The servant goes out and announces, "Come, for everything now is ready." And this is hard to say in a church setting because we have so many of these potlucks, but the kingdom of heaven is not a potluck. That is, you can't bring anything to the table. The food and the drinks, they're all on him. In other words, the kingdom of God is something to be received, not to be earned. Something to be received. It cannot be earned. And there will be some who will stay away because they don't want anything they can't earn, even from God. It used to be that old, I think it was E.F. Hutton was the commercial. It said, you know, I make my money the old-fashioned way. I earned it, is how they say. Some people are thinking that way, even with God. I don't want anything that I haven't earned. And others will stay away because they think that they can't possibly earn it. They're too guilty. They're too sinful. God couldn't really love me. I need to do something to make myself good enough for the kingdom of heaven. But both are misunderstandings of the kingdom. The master says, or the servant goes out on behalf of the master and says, come, for everything now is ready. Everything is ready. Don't refuse the great banquet because there's something you think you need to earn. Imagine for a second that somebody invites you to a feast, a great dinner at the best restaurant in the world, right? And it's, I had in my notes, it costs $500 a plate, but that's like Applebee's now, is not too far down from that. Let's say $1,000 a plate. They invite you to the best restaurant in the world, $1,000 a plate, but they said, don't worry, I've got it. I've paid it all for you, and I want you to come, and I want you to be a guest at my table. And you're excited by this. You can't wait to go. You've heard about this restaurant. You're going to fast for a week ahead of time, so you'll be so hungry for this. But you also just have this impulse to help out in some way. And so you say to the person who's made the invitation to you, listen, I've got these bagel bites at home, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll put them in the oven right before we leave. I'll put them in the, I've got an insulated Tupperware, and I will bring them to the meal. Now, what is the person who's invited you? What are they going to say to this? They're going to say, listen, I don't think you understand what's happening here, right? I almost don't even want to invite you anymore because maybe you're not going to appreciate this. The kingdom of God, the feast in the kingdom, is not something you can supplement. It has to be received, not earned. And some won't come to the kingdom, sadly, because of its commonness. Some won't come, sadly, because they don't want it to be free. They want to earn it. I do love bagel bites, by the way. I'll just tell you. Thirdly, some won't come because of the priority of the kingdom. The invitation is a double invite. I don't know if you noticed that in the story that Jesus tells, but this is actually pretty common in the ancient world. The master announces first that the party's going to happen, kind of like a save the date, and so people, you know, prepare themselves, they're excited that this is going to happen. But then when everything is all set up, when everything is ready, the servant is sent out to go and tell them, now's the time to come. Now it's ready. Let's do it. The party's on. But now is the time, right? When that second invitation comes, that's when the excuses start to roll in. I just bought a field. Can't do it. I just bought an ox. I can't do it. I just got married. I've got things to do. I found something, in other words, I found something more important. They don't come because they don't want the kingdom of God to actually disturb the rhythm of their normal life. But you should know, the kingdom of God is always going to disturb your normal life. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. We've been singing about it all morning. He's the Lord of the feast. And when he calls you to the banquet, when he calls you to live according to the pattern of the kingdom, it necessarily is going to change your plans. Commitment to the business of the kingdom has to come first. And this is where a lot of people stumble. They expect that Jesus is going to be a nice add-on to whatever else they've got going on in their life. But Jesus doesn't come to help you with your agenda. He comes to give you a new one. And so the values of the kingdom may mean changes for you. They may mean that you make less money than you would have otherwise. It certainly will mean that you will keep less than you would have otherwise. It may mean a smaller pool of people from which to date, to choose from, because you want people who are pulling in the same direction, have the same priorities as you. It certainly will mean thinking of yourself less and thinking about others more, laying your life down, serving your neighbors. Jesus says, if my kingdom cramps your style and you refuse to come, it shows you haven't embraced or understood the nature of the kingdom. Sadly, not all of Jesus' stories have a happy ending. Verse 24 tells us there are some who don't come into the kingdom, who won't come into the kingdom. In fact, judgment is described here as hospitality refused. And maybe you know what that's like, to prepare a great meal and then to be stood up. You went to a lot of trouble. They don't show up, or maybe you've been that person even, found a better invite and didn't go. Please don't ever do that to God. Don't treat him so lightly. Don't refuse his invitation. Don't make excuses. I'm going to pray here in a minute, just a simple little prayer. And if you'd like to, you can pray along in your mind and your heart. I'll tell you what it is first and give us a moment of silence, and then if you'd like to join me. But simple prayer, I'm sorry, God, that I've made excuses for so long. Thank you that Jesus has made everything ready for me. I accept your invitation into the kingdom. Give us just a minute to be quiet, to reflect, and then if you'd like to pray along with me, you can. Let's take just a moment of silence. Again, if you'd like to pray along with me, you can do so in your mind and in your heart. I'm sorry, God, that I've made excuses for so long. Thank you that Jesus has made everything ready for me. I accept your invitation into the kingdom. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from New City, a church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Visit our website at newcitycincy.org for more sermons and resources. That's New City, CINCY.org. Thanks for joining us today, and God bless you.